Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
We were on The Office together.
And we're best friends.
And now we're doing the Ultimate Office Lovers podcast just for you.
Each week, we will dive deeper into the world of The Office with exclusive interviews, behind-the-scenes details, and lots of BFF stories.
We're The Office Ladies 6.0. Hello!
Hi there!
Hi! And welcome to today's episode that is in honor of Angela's birthday.
It's my birthday. It's my birthday week.
It's your birthday week.
Mm-hmm.
You are surrounded by presents and balloons and sweet treats. Sam and I both went balloons this year.
Mm-hmm. Skipped flowers.
I know.
They're beautiful and festive, and I thank you. And is this a box of donuts?
Lady, it is a box of donuts.
Yeah!
Because I was like, listen, you are married to a man who can make you the best cake or pie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what is a sweet treat that you love that Josh does not make for you? And it's donuts.
That's right.
So I did check in with him. I wanted to make sure I knew your favorite.
Did you get just like, I'm a basic bitch. It's just glazed.
Glazed.
That's it.
It's glazed.
Sam.
Yeah, that's very you.
Thank you.
It's very on brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's from my local donut shop that I love.
Oh, I love a local donut shop.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to me. I love one, too, where you go in and it's like donuts. Or would you like a burrito? I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And then it's like, also, we have some egg rolls. Fine. Great.
Yep.
Give it all to me.
This is just donuts.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I love a local donut shop.
Well, listen, lady, you planned such a fantastic birthday episode for me this year. You set the bar pretty high. So I hope you like what we've planned.
It's already off to a great start.
Okay, good, good.
There's donuts.
Well, everyone, later in the episode, Angela's going to answer the call sheet questions. I'm very excited for that. But, you know, at the top of my birthday episode, we had a really fun dish session.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about going to the SAG Awards.
Yeah.
And I thought, I feel like we need a fun dish session for your birthday, too. But then I was like, is there a fun story that we have not told on the podcast?
I mean, after all these years, it's getting slim.
It is. I feel like we've reported everything.
Everything. But you know, Jenna, you had a theme for your birthday, which really helped me when I was shaping your episode. You said books and fabulous women. And so I was able to latch onto that, but that got me thinking, if I was to set a theme for my birthday, I think it would be family, friends, and tennis, because those are three things I want to spend more time enjoying. And then I was going through old photos and I found some from our time on Family Feud with our sisters and your mom. And I know we mentioned this years ago, you know, on the podcast when we went on the actual game show, but lady, we never really dished. You know what I mean? We never really got down to it.
Well, you told me your theme. You told me this idea and I said, I love it. Let's dish.
Let's
Family Feud.
Dish. Okay. First, I think we need to explain how it all came about. And Jenna, if my memory serves, didn't you get an email from the folks at Family Feud saying, like, would your family like to go on and like compete for a charity?
Yeah, that's right. They asked me if I might like to go on with some of my Office co-stars or my family. They kind of said, build a team. And I thought it would be really fun since your sister is a teacher and my mom is a teacher and my sister is also a teacher. I thought that we could all go on together and we could play for adoptaclassroom.org.
I mean, that's a win-win. I was so excited. And for those of you guys that are unfamiliar, Adopt a Classroom is an amazing national nonprofit that connects people who can donate to help out pre-K through 12th grade educators to provide funding for school supplies. And their goal is to help teachers from having to spend their own money on essential learning materials for their classroom.
Well, this was really cool because we got to do something fun with our family members and also honor their years of teaching. But we only got the money if we won.
That's right.
We got like a little bit of money for our charity just for showing up, but we wanted the big dollars.
That's right. Oh, and also, wait, we have to talk about the fact that the minute we said yes, we all then got on a text thread because we had to coordinate outfits.
Yes. They suggest that you coordinate your outfits. Like if you watch Family Feud, some people get like whole like special sweatshirts made and all that, but we didn't have time. So we came up with...
Get ready for this, guys.
Blouse with black slacks.
Fancy blouse with black slacks.
And we tried to all do the same color blouse, if you remember, but we couldn't find a color that we all had.
Your mom and I had kind of a green color.
Yeah.
You had sort of like a pink. Your sister was like a reddish pink. And then my sister Janet was blue.
Because we settled on jewel tones.
Yes,
We wrote them back and we said, we'll be doing jewel tones with black slacks.
I know. When you wrote that back, I was like, do they think we're crazy? Jewel tones.
So once we figured out what to wear, our family flew out to LA from St. Louis in Texas. I also want to share that my dad came along. He was in the audience on tape day, which was very special
so
to
sweet. Me. And we should also say who we were going up against. It was Scott Foley and his family. They were all so nice, by the way. And we were absolutely charmed by Scott Foley.
Well, you know, he's also from St. Louis.
Yeah.
So we were all chatting St. Louis backstage. He took pictures with all of us.
My sister Janet was like, he is so handsome.
Oh, my mom was swooning.
I know. I also want to mention there were lots of snacks backstage. I always clock a good snack area.
Yes.
There was tea and coffee. The folks at Family Feud took great care of us. But my sister Janet maybe should have skipped the coffee. Because I looked over at her and you guys, she had this glazed look in her eyes. And I was like, are you okay? And she was like, my heart is racing. She said, literally, I can feel it beating outside my chest. And then she proceeded to drink two more cups of coffee, which she never does. So I think the coffee paired with her nerves of being on national television was not a great mix. I literally thought she was going to bounce right out of that green room.
Well, I was really nervous backstage too, speaking of nerves, because my mom was telling stories about me as a little girl. To like my hair and makeup people and any production assistants that came by. And I was like, oh my God, I hope she doesn't tell these on Family Feud. I'm like in a semi-spiral backstage. My sister is cracking up.
Emily seems so calm.
Yes, she's a go with the flow person. Yeah. And what was really cool was that they got to get glam treatment backstage. And it was especially cool for my sister because, I mean, as a teacher, she does not get the fancy treatment that often. And so that was cool for me, too, to kind of treat them to a glow up.
Yeah.
And it was also cool for me to get to give them like a little bit of an insider's look at what it takes to be on TV. You know, they were both like, wow, it's a lot of waiting.
Yeah.
But they also loved the snacks.
Right?
Yeah.
Snacks and a glow up and lots of waiting.
That sums it up.
But then it was time to play. I remember how we were lined up on stage. It was you first, then me, then your mom, then your sister, and then my sister all the way at the end. And I was like, oh, I was immediately slightly worried because whoever's at the end, they're the last one to guess when all the good answers have kind of been used up.
It's the hardest position.
It really
is. In the
is.
Line, for sure.
And she had had two cups of coffee.
But wait, do you remember backstage while they were lining us up? We were like 1 minute to curtain or whatever.
Like, they were like 50 seconds.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you have to make a tableau. You have to pose.
We're like a tableau.
Yeah. It's going to start in a shadow and you need to have a tableau and then the lights will come up on you. Come up with something. And we panicked. And the best thing that we could come up with was all of us resting our hands on our chins.
Yeah.
With like a weird slight bend in our knees.
You couldn't tell what we were doing.
What were we doing?
Like the tableau in the shadow, it just looks like a bunch of people hunched over.
Yes. It was ridiculous. And then I remember like Scott Foley's team had this cool like Charlie's Angels thing, like some people's arms were up, some people were to the side.
We were just like leaning over.
We totally choked. We did.
A little bit.
It just all went by so fast. And then I remember, okay, lights are up. We're walking to our podium. Steve Harvey came out. The energy in the room was so amped. We start the game immediately. Like you just dive right in.
Yeah. And you were head to head with Scott Foley.
I know, I had to go first.
It was very exciting. I do also want to say Steve Harvey, man, like he's energy the minute he hits that stage.
I know. And he has to be so quick on his feet.
He's so quick. He's so entertaining. All of it was so fun. But let's hear our very first round.
All right, let's go, guys. Top 8 answers on the board. We asked 100 women, name something that would look good smeared all over your ex's car.
Condiments.
Condiments.
What? What?
Whipped cream?
Whipped cream.
Pass it back.
Wait, wait, wait. We want to play.
All right, Angela. We asked 100 women, name something that would look good smeared all over your ex's car.
How about some eggs?
Some eggs. And darling, wonderful to have you here. We asked 100 women, name something that would look good smeared all over your ex's car.
Paint.
Come on now. Now we talking. Black car, red paint. Paint. Emily, we asked 100 women, name something that would look good smeared all over your ex's car.
Lipstick.
Lipstick. That's a school teacher. We're gonna go to the other school teacher, Janet. 100 women, name something look good smeared all over your ex's car. The kids are listening.
Crash marks. You know, hammer marks, crash marks.
Janet, okay.
After.
Hammer marks. Can't wipe them off. Crash marks, hammer marks. Jenna, we got two strikes now. We got to be careful. Foley family can steal.
Poop.
Fresh. Fresh. Poop. Hey, we got two strikes now, Angela. We got to be careful again. Foley family can steal. Talk to 100 women. Name something might look good smeared all over your ex's car.
Your trash.
Your trash.
So then it went back to Foley's team to steal.
Yeah, but they didn't steal it. No. So we got it.
So we got it.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny because my first instinct was to say poop, but I was afraid to say poop.
Yeah.
And so I didn't say poop first. But then when it came back to me, I'm like, I gotta say it. I mean, right. It's clearly gonna be some sort of like poop or pee.
Yeah, for sure. Did you hear my sister Janet leave her body when she said crash marks, hammer marks. You guys, she said that she just was thinking about, like, if you were mad, what would you do to a car?
Yeah,
of course. She wasn't thinking about the item you put on top of it.
Of course. She was thinking vandalism in general.
Exactly.
Yes.
But she said she was just like, time stood still. And those words came out of her mouth. And then she was like, ah. But anyway, what happened was, guys, then you go to the next round, which is like the main round, and our team won enough points that we were in for the fast money bonus round.
Yes, this is when we got the chance to win up to $25,000 for our charity.
Yeah, because we'd already beat the Foleys.
We beat the Foleys. Sorry, Scott Foley and family. You were lovely.
You were so nice. So here's how the fast money bonus round works for those of you who are unfamiliar. I had never played it. So, I mean, I learned it that day. You have two family members who are selected to play. One of you leaves the stage, right? Where you can't hear.
Yeah, you go to like a soundproof booth.
Yeah, that was me. I left the stage. So Jenna was going to go first. She was going to have to answer 5 rapid fire survey questions. And then after Jenna answers, it's my turn. They bring me out of this booth where I haven't been able to hear anything. And then I have to answer the same questions as Jenna.
But you can't say the same answer I said.
Exactly.
And we have to try to get up to 200 points.
And that's how you win.
I have to ask you, what was it like in the soundproof booth? I've always wondered.
You literally can't hear anything.
Is it weird?
I mean, you just stand there for a bit by yourself.
Does it feel like it's going on forever?
No, not really. It didn't. I mean, because you only got 20 seconds on the clock.
That's true.
So by the time I got back there, I mean, it was almost time for me to come back out.
It's funny, you feel like I had the tougher round, but I feel like you had the tougher round because there were 5 answers that were now no longer allowed that you don't know. I just got to go with my first instinct.
Yeah, but you had 20 seconds and I had 25 seconds. And you know what we had to hope for is that your brain and my brain don't think exactly alike.
Mm-hmm.
But if this podcast has taught us anything, the odds were in our favor, lady.
Well, let's hear my round and then hear your round.
Okay.
Besides popcorn, name something people buy at a movie theater concession stand.
Soda.
Tell me how many TVs you have in the house.
3.
Name a part of the body that people throw out a joint.
Their back.
Fill in the blank. Cry blank.
Pass.
Tell me the U.S. state that starts with North.
Dakota.
Cry blank.
Cry baby.
Boom.
So then, Jenna, I guess they added up all your points and you did really well.
But let's see how you did, lady.
Now, and also, guys, just know, I had to run like across this long stage to meet Steve Harvey on the front. And I was running in heels. Okay, so just, I'm a little winded.
Okay.
Angela.
Yeah, that was a long way to run in heels.
Yeah. Your bestie over there played the game. She got out of 200.
What?
186.
Oh my God. That is so good.
Yeah. You need 14 points.
I got this.
You ready? All right, let's remind everybody of Jenna's answers. 25 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Besides popcorn, name something people buy at a movie theater concession stand.
Soda pop.
Try again.
Chocolate.
Tell me how many TVs you have in the house.
4.
Name a part of the body that people throw out a joint.
Their neck.
Fill in the blank. Cry blank.
Mia River.
Tell me a U.S. state that starts with North.
North Dakota.
Try again.
Jesus.
No. North Jesus.
I was saying, oh Lord Jesus.
I was going, wow. I ain't been paying attention in school. Where is North Jesus? All right, let's go. We need 14 points. Besides popcorn, name something that people buy at a movie theater concession stand. You said chocolate. Survey said.
So we won. And you guys, our reaction to winning, there's this great screen grab. We are just like bear pile, like your mom, your sister, my sister. We're like, hugging. It's like we won the Super Bowl.
I was so excited that we won and that we won the money for the charity. It was awesome.
It was so much fun. And lady, one of the things you and I talked about right after we filmed this was the pandemic.
Oh, it happened. You're right. Very shortly after. In fact, I feel like when it aired, we were during the pandemic.
We were.
And we couldn't watch it all together.
Yeah. We had wanted to do a viewing party. And so your sister, so sweet, made us T-shirts.
Yes. Her friend of hers that she works with did like a really cool piece of artwork of the five of us standing behind the Family Feud like little podium.
Yeah, it's really cool. Mm-hmm. And they put it on a T-shirt. And instead, we all remotely had our viewing parties and we all wore our T-shirts.
Yeah, that was really sweet. Aw. Well, Ange, I loved reminiscing about that. I hope y'all liked it. But I think it's just the perfect way to start an Angela Kinsey birthday episode because she loves her family and her friends and she loves to play games. And she especially loves to play tennis.
Yes.
Which we will be discussing.
Oh, no.
When we come back from our break. We are back. Lady, I'm going to kick off this section of the podcast with a little trivia.
Okay.
You told me the movie and the song that were popular during my birth month and year. And so I'm going to do the same for you. The top grossing movie in the week of June 1971 was Love Story, starring Ellie McGraw and Ryan O'Neal. That's the movie that made the name Jennifer so popular. Her name was Jennifer, aka Jenny. That name blew up after that movie. The number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 in June 1971, it was a double-sided hit by Carole King. One side was It's Too Late, and the other side was I Feel the Earth Move.
Oh, under my feet. Oh, yeah. I love that song.
Yes, that stayed at the top of the charts for 5 weeks. I also thought you might like to know that the number one television show was All in the Family.
I love All in the Family.
Mm-hmm. All right, lady, you love tennis. You sort of formulated my birthday episode around my love of books, but I'm going to lean into your love of tennis. So here's the thing, lady. When you ask people to read a passage of their favorite book for my birthday, it just made my day. But I didn't know, like, how do we honor this piece of you that is a tennis player? Because we can't, like, all show you our favorite tennis clip. That didn't seem fun. And none of us really know you as a tennis player. In fact, you have often said to me, and I'm quoting you, Jenna, I am a totally different person on the court. You've said this to me repeatedly. And I'm like, what does that mean?
It's a side of me that you and Sam don't know.
Yes.
Or Matt out there in San Francisco.
Well, with your permission, I reached out to your tennis ladies, as you call them. These are the women that you play tennis with. This is Betsy, April, and Rebecca.
Yes.
You guys play like 3 times a week, right?
Yeah. I mean, we are traveling here and there, so we have other people that fill in. We also have a Sunday group that's amazing. Debbie and Francette and Julie. But my regular game is with April, Rebecca, and Betsy. And I gave you their information, and I'm a little scared.
Well, I reached out to these ladies, and here's what I asked them. I said, Angela has told me that she has a whole other side to her that I don't know, that it's a competitive side that comes out when she plays tennis, and that you all have nicknames for her.
Oh, gosh.
She has given me permission to do a little digging, and I was wondering if you could share a little bit about this other Angela that I don't know. Oh, lady, they had fun with this. They got together, the three of them.
Oh, my gosh. Betsy's in England.
They got together on a Zoom and they recorded this message for you. I was laughing so hard the whole time I was listening to this. So, okay, first of all, let's listen to how they described your tennis alter ego.
Okay, so we're here to talk about our friend Angela and her tennis life, which is rich. She basically, her whole life revolves around that. I mean, her kids, obviously Josh, but the podcast, but it's mostly tennis. If she could have her way, it would just be tennis. Wouldn't you say?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, I totally agree. Yes.
And you know, I think you put it really well, April. There's a side of Angela you don't know unless you play tennis with her.
Well, yeah, that's right. Like, she'll show up to play tennis in the Angela that we all know and love, right? Where she like arrives and she has like a granola from Josh and some little gift for us and some sweet story. And she
got
like,
t-shirts made for everybody.
T-shirt. She brought me a hummingbird feeder and like, you know, she's like all these beautiful things. Here's the new tea I have. You have to try it.
And the most considerate person ever.
So considerate. Yes.
Literally every, like the kindest, sweetest, most considerate.
And then we get on the court, right?
She's like the Hulk. She is. There's a Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes.
But not like, she's not mean. She's just really competitive and in cutthroat. So she has this shot and we call it the Angela because it's a really good shot. She's got a very good forehand and she has this shot where she does a really deep angle and it's very, very difficult to get to. And, you know, okay, that's fine. And the first, like, 3 times she does it and scores points. By the way, when she's up, like, like in the game we play, you know, the winner wins 11. Like when her team is up like 7-2, she's still doing that. And that's when I get really mad.
And I get mad like 3 or 4, I'll say. I'm a little earlier than you.
And I'm actually mad. And I'll go, keep it up, Angela. Let's see where that gets you. And I'm so clearly mad. And she's like, hey, she has no idea that I'm really mad. It's like, I'm going to kill you. Or the other thing she did to you, Rebecca, the little like, sometimes she like a little tip of the hat and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, don't do that.
It's like she'll do a really wicked shot and then almost curtsy to you.
She does. She has a little leg kick too.
She has a little like leg kick. But, yeah. Where yeah. You're like, aren't you adorable? We had a fill-in for this woman who is only in town periodically, and she's Danish, and she is hilarious because she curses in Danish. And Angela hit 2 shots back-to-back. One was an Angela, and then one was this really mean backhand drop shot. Charlotte cursed at her in Danish, and I have no idea what she said. And I was on the same side as Charlotte. And I said, oh my gosh, I'd love to know what you said. And she was like, you really don't want to know. And I was like, it's okay. I was like, it's okay. We curse at her in English all the time. You can actually, you can actually tell her what you said.
Angela. Can you see it, Sam?
I can absolutely see the curtsying thing. I know exactly the leg kick.
I know the leg kick.
Yep.
All of it. Mm-hmm.
But the hulking out, I can't picture.
What? I mean, I'm always like, our purpose is to win, right? I'm here to win.
Yes.
So what's the problem?
Yeah, I think they're looking for like a type of sportsmanship.
What?
Where when you're ahead so far, you know,
mm-hmm.
You do maybe a little bit
take
of
your
what
foot off the gas.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. know, they call it like a gentleman's serve, right? Yeah. Or like a
I know. Sometimes I really do try to do that. And then other times you just see the court and you see the shot and you take it and you forget that you're up 7-2. You just see the shot, so you take it.
I think it's fine.
You know,
I'm on your side.
Listen, you have to know the two people that influenced my tennis career. One was Coach Lund in high school. He coached basketball. All he cared about was basketball. We went to state and we won state for men's basketball. So this was a big legacy of his. And then someone just told him, oh, and you also have to coach tennis. And he was probably like, what the hell? Because he could give a shit. But he would drive me to matches. And right before I left the van to go to my game, as I got out of the van, he'd say, Kinsey, victory or death. That was it. Those are my only options. And then he would nap in the van, not even watch my match. And then after the match, I'd get in the van. He'd be like, victory or death. And if I said death, he'd say, stinking Kinsey. Stinking Kinsey. Okay, so you have Coach Len. And then the biggest tennis influence in my life is my mom. My mother was an amazing, amazing tennis player. I'll never be as good as she was. And I just grew up watching her matches. And she has a very dear friend who she played tennis with, who is from the Netherlands, Karina. And her and Karina would say to each other before a doubles match, stick it in their ear. And so my mom will say to me before a match, go stick it in their ear. When I retell the story, I have to remember to really pronunciate ear. Because for a long time, my tennis friends thought I was saying stick it in their rear.
Okay.
Stick it in the rear. So you hear it?
I hear it.
Anyway, so I have victory or death and stick it in their ear. This is where I come from.
This is as you step onto the court.
This is what's in my brain.
Well, that makes sense for this next clip, maybe. Do you have it in your head even when you're warming up?
I guess so.
Even when you're warming up?
Why? This is a leading question.
I don't know. Do you remember the injury?
Oh, no.
Let's hear it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
April, you're the only one here. I think she's actually wounded.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I'm going to add during a warm-up. Like during
a warm-up.
Like not bad. Even. Yeah. No reason to come at me with like that fierceness. But yet she did. So
you were in that, right? And she hit really hard.
like right into my eye. Yeah. Like there was, I could not get my racket up in time. Like,
and you gave you a black eye.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. she did do that.
And then after that, like, I think it was maybe your first time back after that or whatever.
And
I was
April,
on her team.
Obviously a little skittish.
And, yeah. You know, we were all like, okay, it's okay, April. And so you know, if you're not the Hulk, then you're like, I'm going to not hit it at April as much as I can. And if I do accidentally hit it towards you, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You know, sort of an understanding. And the Hulk just kept coming back at you.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. It was more like an opportunity to keep scoring.
The thing that's amazing about her also is it's impossible to actually make her mad. Have you noticed that? And I try.
Ooh. That's a good point.
Yeah, that is a really good point.
Yeah. Yeah. If you come back at her with the shots that she hits at you, she just will tell you good shot.
Oh, it's so
really infuriating.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
So you busted this woman's face and then smelled blood in the water.
Okay.
And then pounced on the opportunity.
First of all, one of the things they didn't mention, and ladies, how dare you, is that was a backhand. It's really, my backhand is not great. It's very inconsistent. So I'm always like, I can't believe that was a backhand. Like,
that's your takeaway from the story.
Not, I'm sorry.
But the thing they didn't mention is how impressive that is for a backhand.
From me. But no, I felt horrible. And then a week went by and then April had a shiner. And I was like, oh my God, April, I'm so sorry. I just felt so bad. And then the next time we played, it was the same shot, a backhand. Like, and I almost hit her again. And I was like, oh my God, that's it. I can't. I'm like, you don't mean to hit someone ever in tennis.
Of course not.
I mean, really, you don't. I mean, I think there's some people that go at people on purpose, mm-hmm. but I don't. I wish I had the accuracy. I don't. I mean, I don't wish that I had the accuracy to hit someone.
It's coming out a little. The Hulk is a little here.
Also, do you know what is really annoying? Is that now they're going to call me the Hulk, and I'm so pissed. I now have a new nickname.
Well, lady, in addition to playing with your tennis ladies, you also started this year playing with USTA.
Yes.
Do you want to tell people about it?
Yeah. I mean, I think you guys out there probably know USTA. It's the United States Tennis Association, and it's really fun. And I'm at the very beginning of this journey, but some ladies are really nice and some are total bitches. And we all kind of commiserate after the fact of like, wow.
Well, I met a very nice lady who played you. I was in Tokyo and I was waiting for Lee and our daughter to get off of the 10th tallest roller coaster. And a woman came up to me and she said, hi, are you Jenna Fisher from The Office? And I said, yes. And she said, well, I just wanted to say that I played tennis with Angela Kinsey at USTA. And she's just the nicest person ever. So just so you know, you did leave a very good impression at USTA.
I am nice, you guys. I am nice. I'm just there to win. And again, April, I'm so sorry about your eye and I love you. Before we start the call sheet questions, there was one thing I was surprised the ladies didn't share, which is a lot of times when I do that little drop shot or the angle shot, they call me a cunt.
But I think they were afraid to curse.
But it's the highest form of praise. Like if any of us gets called that, we're like, thank you. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. In fact, we got Betsy a necklace. It looks like a gold charm, but if you get up really close, it says cunt. And she'll wear the necklace when we play. And when one of us does the shot, she's like, come kiss the necklace.
Well, Angela, I think now it's time to move on to the call sheet questions. This is special for your birthday, and I'm very excited to hear your answers. All right. What was your first entertainment job?
All right. Well, we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast, but I've never shared, I think, this part, which is the very first time I was paid to act was during my improv days in my 20s. There was this guy who would put together improv groups to go into like corporate offices or corporate retreats. Mm-hmm. And lady, it was so awkward. It was so cringy. Like we would have to do improv games with like a sales team, you know? and try to incorporate whatever like of their company philosophy was, but then play like yes and games. And
this was a thing.
Yeah.
I remember this. This was like a big thing. And as an actor, you could get hired to do these corporate retreats.
Yeah.
Team building.
I mean, we went to one that was like way up, like in the hills of Malibu at some retreat. They were always super cringy because it's like all of a sudden I'm doing an improv game with like Bob from Human Resources. Mm-hmm. And Bob thinks he's hilarious and he's trying to do bits. And you're like, Bob, you're not yes anding.
Okay, this feels like a real life Michael Scott conference room meeting. In a way.
Oh, 100%.
It's where you started.
It is. That's why they felt so familiar to me. And then also I did a ton of commercials, but my first paycheck for being in like a television show was the TV show Step by Step. And I think I've chatted about it before.
Is this the wedding?
Yes. I found a clip of it.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay. So you guys, to set it up, this is season 7, episode 12, titled Going to the Chapel. I got the part not because of my amazing acting talent, but because I was the exact same size of one of the leads, Stacey Keenan. She played Dana, and we were both petite, had blonde hair. Hers was much shorter, so they made me wear a wig, lady, and the wig looks ridiculous. Carol, who was played by Suzanne Summers, thinks her daughter Dana has eloped and crashes in on a wedding. And this is what we hear. Get ready to be dazzled, really, by this performance.
And so now, by the powers vested in me...
Stop! Stop the wedding!
You're not Dana or Rich.
No, we're Larry and Simone.
But thanks for ruining the most special moment of our lives.
Oh gosh, I'm so sorry. Please, don't forgive me. And lots of luck.
There you go.
Aw, first time on TV.
Thanks for ruining the best day of our lives.
Was your family so excited, though, that moment when they got to turn on the television and there you were, that they'd sent you off to Los Angeles and now you've come back through their television?
They were. My mom was really excited because she loves Suzanne Summers. Mm-hmm. And we had all watched all of her shows.
Thighmaster.
Oh, my gosh.
I had a Thighmaster.
Did you really?
Of course. Did you not have a Thighmaster?
I didn't, but I think one of my sisters did because I remember seeing it sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
But of course, you had a Thighmaster, lady. Even back then, you were buying the gadgets that people were like toting for, like how to like improve yourself.
If there was an infomercial, I bought it. But this isn't about me, lady. This is about you. And I'm moving on to the second call sheet question, which is, do you speak any other languages? This is a three-parter, right?
Yes. I made you answer all three.
Yeah. So we're starting with, do you speak any other languages?
Which you guys all know I speak Bahasa Indonesian.
And also a little bit of Spanish.
And a little bit of Spanish.
Quite a bit of Spanish.
I mean, I can get around, yeah. But I would say what I've retained the most over the years is Indonesian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you play a musical instrument?
I think I've mentioned this too, but I did not until we moved to Texas. And I was the new kid from Indonesia, and I was a weirdo, and I was trying to fit in. And my friend Shannon played the trombone. And we were in a very small school, and if everyone didn't participate, we didn't have a band. So they were like, literally like, you want to play something? Here you go. So I played trombone.
Do you have a favorite book you've read?
Okay. So here's the thing I wanted to tell you. It's not so much a favorite book I've read, but I have a genre that's my favorite. And that is, I love to read a book that takes me somewhere else. Like, it needs to be an escape for me. It's harder for me to read things that are likely to happen. Mm-hmm. So I like to be taken to a different time in history. I like to be taken to a different country. For example, I loved a book and I'm rereading it. So I read this book a long time ago. And recently I got a new bookshelf for my living room, mm-hmm. you know, lady, and I now have a real place to put books. So I started going through bins of books that I've had for a long time. And I came across Howard's End by E.M. Forster. Mm-hmm. And I had remember loving it when I read it a long time ago, and I've started rereading it.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
I love it again. Wonderful. Just even how it starts is so great with this letter from Helen. And I'm already like, oh God, what's Helen got to say? It's everything I love, lady. It's Edwardian society. You know, it's also talking about social class and what the normal mores were at the time. And I don't know. I just love it.
That is your wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. You like that in movies as well.
Yeah.
I mean, your favorite movie, Pride and Prejudice.
Yes.
Sounds very similar.
Uh-huh.
This is on brand for you, this book choice.
It is.
All right. Number three, what's a place you've been to that you loved?
Okay, so you did domestic and international.
I did.
So domestic, I would say I just love nothing more than a road trip with Josh where we pack our snacks. And one of my favorite ones we've ever done is we went to the redwoods.
Mm.
The coastal redwoods. I mean, they're the tallest trees on earth. They grow up to like 380 feet. I just remember just being so amazed by them and humbled, and I felt so small in the world. And we did this really cool thing where we went ziplining in the redwoods.
I remember this. You were nervous, though.
Because I don't like heights.
No.
But I love the redwoods. So, and I wanted to be game. It was the whole family. And they did this ropes course, and I did ziplining. And you're way high in the canopy of the trees, going from tree to tree. It's so cool.
Wow.
I'll share in stories where we went.
That sounds like an amazing trip.
Yeah. The noise of the world goes away for me when I'm in nature, you know, and I'm sure that's with everybody, right? But it's just so wonderful. And you just take all the like emphasis off you and your life, and you're just surrounded by this wonderful, amazing creation.
It's funny that you say the noise of the world disappears for you when you're in nature, and you sort of assume, like, you're like, of course, I'm sorry. Like, yes, that must be everyone. But I don't think that is everyone, because the noise of the world disappears for me when I'm in New York City, the noisiest place in the world.
That's so
There's
wild.
Something about like confronting noise with noise relaxes me.
Mm-hmm.
I get a little antsy out in the woods.
Oh, so it's funny.
It's
lady.
A little harder for me to relax. And I know that about our friendship too, because when we talk about what is our life like after our kids are up and out,
yeah,
where are we in the world?
Right.
You are always very naturey.
Based somewhere yes. with lots of access to nature.
And
that's where I want to be.
That's what you daydream about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you love big hustle bustle cities.
I know. I'm like, will I live in London or
Chicago,
New York?
Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tokyo now. Like, yeah.
Oh, well, I'll come visit.
Well, I love nature.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
What's our limit though? Because maybe for me,
how
it's like,
long?
It's like 4 days in a busy city with you. Not with you. It's the city.
Yes.
Are you 4 days in nature? Can you make it longer?
4 days sounds about right.
Right?
So yeah.
We'll see each other. We'll keep it tight.
Okay.
And then internationally, you guys, that was really tough for me because I grew up in Southeast Asia and so many beautiful places in that region feel like home to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love dearly, like deep in my core. I love that part of the world. And I couldn't pick just one. So I decided to pick a place and part of the world that I had never been and was totally foreign to me. And it blew me away. And that is Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, if you love nature, if you love hikes, if you love waterfalls, if you want to meet some of the nicest people in the world, go to Iceland. We went to so many beautiful places there. I'll shout out one waterfall because it's one of my favorite family photos from the trip. It's Skógafoss, if I'm saying that correctly. It's like 60 meters tall. It's 25 meters wide. It's like a full curtain. Imagine the most massive curtain of water that is just raining down. And you can kind of hike behind it and look at it. So you see the waterfall from the front, then you hike behind it and see it from behind. It's like you're inside the waterfall. And we saw it at sunset. So we were looking at the sunset through this curtain of massive water. And like we were wet, like we got drenched just from the spray coming off of it.
Wow.
Iceland, guys.
You loved that trip.
I loved it. And it's only a 4.5 hour flight from New York City, lady.
Mm, look at this.
I know.
This is how we combine both our loves.
I would go back to Iceland in a second.
Well, come spend 4 days with me in New York City.
Hustle, bustle, hustle, bustle.
And then we'll head over to Iceland for 4 days.
Nature! Yay!
All right, lady, next question. What do you like to do on the weekends?
Well, I'm really simple. I just love to spend time in my backyard, especially in the morning. you know, the birds are chirping. I like to go check in on all my plants, see how they're doing, see if anything needs attention, pruning, or, you know, I don't know. I just, it's my happy place. And I love it when Josh grills in the evening and the kids are all home and it's just kind of this giant happy chaos, you know? And now that I play USTA tennis, I usually have a match on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And so that's super fun too.
All right. Last one. Favorite midnight snack?
I mean, who's up at midnight anymore?
Well, this is, we're using this as to mean favorite snack indulgence.
It made me laugh though, because we've asked this question to so many people and they're all like, who's up at midnight? And then when I read it, I was like, who's up at midnight?
I know.
Here's the thing. I do have a favorite snack and I probably, God, I don't know. I don't have one every day, but probably, I mean, I have one almost every other day.
What is it?
Lady, I take a piece of bread, just one piece. I smear it with peanut butter. Then I drizzle it with honey. Then I fold it on top of itself.
Oh.
And I love it. Peanut butter and honey sandwich.
Yeah.
And I just do half.
It sounds good.
I keep it civilized. I just do half. I don't go crazy. It's such a good snack.
It is a good snack. You get a little protein in there, a little sweet.
Mm-hmm.
What time do you eat the snack?
Anytime I want. Yeah.
When it moves you.
10:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a snack time.
I don't. Snack time is all the time.
Snack time is all the time.
I have a nickname called Snacks Kinsey. You know this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So of course, Snacks Kinsey would say snacks time is all the time.
That's right.
Put that on a pillow. Put that on a mug. All right, lady. Well, that was your birthday segment. How do you feel?
Yeah, I hope this was fun for you guys to listen to. I'm like, am I so boring? I just like tennis and gardening, guys. And my friends and family.
Lady, you are not boring, and I'm not going to let you call yourself boring on your birthday podcast.
This was fascinating.
Also, Matt, you were having some technical difficulties earlier, and I know you wanted to shout out a happy birthday to Angela. Before we move on to break, you wanted to say something.
Hi, Angela.
Hi, Matt.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, buddy.
You're so awesome. I love working with you. I was thinking how, when you call, because we'll hop on the phone to chat here and there to work something out, how your little iPhone emoji is like this bright flower.
It's a hydrangea. They're my hydrangeas.
Oh, there you go. But that's always how I feel when I see your name lighting up on my screen. I'm like, I'm excited and bright and just excited to chat with you and catch up and get down to work. And it's just so great working with you. I hope you have an awesome day and year. And I'm hoping I can get you on the pickleball court at some point this year.
I will begrudgingly play pickleball.
There it is.
All right. We'll see the Angela on the pickleball court.
I don't know how to do the Angela on the pickleball court.
Perfect. God, imagine how hard she would hit on a pickleball court.
Yeah, it's like a wiffle ball, right?
I'm saying, could we, us four, get, you know, book a court?
Let's go.
Sam, yes. Do you play pickleball?
I've never played before. I'm ready.
Perfect.
All right. Well,
do you play, Matt?
I play.
Okay. We'll have to figure out how to divide up the teams because I've started playing as well.
All right. Well, I don't want it to mess up my tennis game, so I'm only going to play with y'all one time.
Okay, great. Tennis game. Listen to that.
It'll mess up the timing. The ball bounces different. The racket, you know, come on.
Okay.
We had a lady who played with us, and she left to go play pickleball. And when she came back, we were all like, what happened? She's terrible.
All right, listen, why don't we take a break? And then when we come back, we'll do a little around the town, a very special around the town in honor of Angela's birthday, as well as our office question of the week.
And I'm going to have a donut.
Great.
Okay, we are back. It's time for Around the Town. And this week, we're going to dedicate our Around the Town to all of you guys that are getting married. So many of you have sent us the most beautiful wedding save the dates and invitations, and we wanted to shout out a few. Jenna, you said we should call this Wedding Around the Town.
I did? I don't remember that. I said I thought this was very fitting because your favorite part of our mail is opening wedding invitations. So this fit perfectly in your birthday episode.
I do get very excited.
Yes. Every time I see a wax seal on an envelope. I set it aside for you.
Well, here's the thing, you guys, about opening these invitations and save the dates is you get to witness a moment of someone's joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joyful occasion.
Yes.
And you get to be a part of it in a small way.
Exactly. All right. So first up, congratulations to Whitney and Alexander, who will be tying the knot in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania this summer. Whitney included a note that said she'll be walking down the aisle to Forever by Chris Brown and that she will remember to take some mental pictures during her hectic wedding day. She said that she knows 100% she has found the gym to her Pam.
Aw. And congrats to Gina and Brady, who are getting married in Las Vegas, Nevada. They made their invite look like an airplane boarding pass. It's the cutest thing.
Aw.
I know. And then Brady wrote us a letter saying how much his bride-to-be loves the office and loves office ladies. He said their wedding day is a celebration of those everyday moments that turned into something extraordinary. It's about laughter, loyalty, and finding your person, even if it takes a few awkward pauses, inside jokes, and perfectly timed one-liners along the way, mostly from the office. He wrote this, as Michael Scott once said, "I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious, and we feel a little stitious that sharing this with you just might bring a little extra magic to our day."
We also want to send a big congrats to Lauren and Eric, who will be getting married this summer at Red Rocks in Colorado. Lauren said, "Office ladies played a very important role in their relationship. We started listening on a road trip through Spain and always save the newest episode for our next adventure. Because of the podcast, we've been to conventions, pop-ups, and have won 2 office trivias."
Wow.
Congratulations, Lauren and Eric.
And lastly, we're sending our love and congratulations to Josie and Hunter, who got married in an intimate ceremony in Sorrento, Italy. They included a note to us that said, "As we celebrate our marriage, we're grateful for the things that brought comfort and joy along the way. This podcast kept us company during long distance drives and provided comfort during difficult seasons like our miscarriage. Grateful for the joy you bring into our lives."
Well, congratulations, all of you, and to everyone who sent in your wedding invites. We open them all and we look at them all. So that's we right. Can't shout them all out, but believe me, we have shared in your joy and we're sending you our congratulations.
Yes, Jenna, and we love this so much. From time to time, we'll be doing a wedding around the town.
All right, now it's time for our office question of the week. This one comes from Thais in Brazil. Thais says, "I would like an honest response from both of you ladies."
Oh.
"From all of the managers after Michael, which was your favorite? And if you could pick an actor to take the position, who would it be? Love you, ladies."
I know.
Okay, I'm going to tell you who popped in my head.
Okay.
But I don't think he was a manager.
Is it Joe Bennett? Because Joe is not a manager, but she was my favorite.
Okay, I loved Robert California.
Oh, yeah.
I just, when James Spader, and I would not choose anyone but James Spader, when he came in, there was like this energy shift.
Oh, yeah.
That was so fun to play with. Like his whole vibe, his
timing, his cadence. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was just fun. It really spiced it up at a time when, you know, we were losing this person, you know, right. This character.
This anchor.
Yes. That, you know, the show had really revolved around. And it was like, oh, what are we going to do? And here comes this super interesting, nuanced, actory actor.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And a really delicious character, Robert California. Come on. Yeah. Well, I love Joe Bennett. I just, everything Kathy Bates did. And the same thing, the minute she stepped on stage, I was like, whoa. Electricity,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to just watch her do her thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so who would you pick, though?
Well, you know, I had a pitch for who I thought should come in to be manager after Michael Scott.
Who?
That I just thought would be kind of fun. I thought Deborah Messing. She's just so funny.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be a cool energy, and I thought it would be fun to have a woman as manager.
Do you know who I always wanted? Wanda Sykes.
Oh,
would she have been amazing?
So good.
She's so funny. She would have come in there. Oh, I would have loved to have had a scene between Dwight and Wanda Sykes as manager. She just would have handed him his ass on a platter. Well, that was such a fun question. Thanks so much for writing in.
Well, listen, before we go, lady, you were so generous in my birthday episode. You made a donation to the Library Foundation of Los Angeles in my honor. And I'd like you to know that a donation has been made in your honor. Now, I know the charities that you already support, and I wanted to support a place that made me think of you, that I thought captured your spirit. And I'm going to get choked up when I think about it, but something about you that you have to know you to know is that you take a very active and personal advocacy role in a lot of people's lives, in your life, friends and family members. I experienced this when I went through my breast cancer treatment, the ways that you advocated for me and protected me in our workplace. But you do elements of this that go even further. So I don't want to share your personal life, but let's say, for example, you have a friend, English is their second language. When that friend fell ill, you went to those doctor's appointments and you took notes and you called the insurance companies. You did that kind of work to make sure that your friend was getting the best care. You do that for so many people in your life all the time. And it's really moving. And there's an organization called CASA. And what CASA volunteers do is they are trained to work as child welfare advocates and family advocates. So they're not social workers. It's a volunteer organization. And they kind of go beyond what a social worker is able to do because social workers are stretched so thin.
Yeah.
So a CASA volunteer will get matched with a family or a child, and they advocate for them in a very personal and a direct way. So they will sit in the courtroom. If that child needs dental care, they'll find the dentist. They will try to get that covered however it can be covered. They support them educationally. Anything having to do with their physical or mental health, their safety, their permanency goals, that's what these volunteers do. And that reminds me of you. And so a donation has been made in your name to this organization.
Thank you so much, lady. That means so much to me. It's a great organization. I actually have a friend who works with them. I didn't know that you're making a donation, but that's wonderful. And I really appreciate that. That's special. You know, what are we here for if not to care for others and be kind? And, you know, we're all in this together. We really are.
Yeah. But lady, you do like real high effort work for the people you love. You know, you make the phone calls, you figure out the appointments, you go the extra mile.
Well, thanks everyone. Thank you so much for this birthday episode, you guys. I just have had the best time. I left you a message on the drive-in that I was so excited.
Well, I hope you feel celebrated. Everyone, thank you for listening. And we love you. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you then.
Thank you for listening to Office Ladies.
Office Ladies is a presentation of Odyssey and is produced by Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey.
Our senior producer is Matt Beagle, and our audio engineer is Sam Kiefer.
Odyssey's executive producer is Leah Reese Dennis.
Office Ladies was mixed and mastered by Bill Schultz.
Our theme song is Rubber Tree by Creed Bratton.